What can be done to prepare the harvest for God? Hello, welcome to Good Word, a program dedicated to exploring biblical themes. This week, our discussion focuses on the harvest and harvesters. My name is John Dibdahl, and with me are Dan Solis, author of our lesson and a pastor in College Place, Washington, and Paul Dibdahl, a professor in the School of Theology here at the university. Gentlemen, I'm glad you're here. Thank you for joining me.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
In many ways, this lesson continues the previous one, which showed that Jesus chose apostles to train and to carry on his work of making disciples. We look more in depth in this lesson at the spiritual nature of these apostles and the kind of training they received. The spiritual life and leadership called for is different from non-spiritual training, which uses the methods of business and politics to develop leaders. The apostolic leaders must prepare themselves for spiritual warfare in their service for Christ. The Holy Spirit is the key to this. So, last week we talked about the initial training and choice of spiritual leaders. Now we go on to talk about the harvest and the harvesters, which is also about training. So, Dan, how do those two fit together, and what particularly were you looking for us to learn from this week's lesson?
Well, as I was writing, I thought that there was more that needed to be studied here than could be compressed into 1 week. And so this is essentially a continuation, as you've mentioned, about what we studied the previous week. I think the true measure of success, if we look at corporations, it's not just what happens when the initial visionary opens up his storefront or begins his business, but what happens when he's off the scene, when he retires or when he dies. Does it continue or does it die out? If it's truly successful, we see that this goes through many generations, and leadership is prepared so that successive generations continue the progress that was made under the initial visionary. Okay. So as we study this week, we're going to be looking at that continuing process of how disciples are not only made, but how disciple makers are made, and how they continue to lead more people into leadership.
Okay, thank you. That's good. Let's look at a couple key words here. Some of them may seem a little bit strange. The first one that I have on the list here is prodigal. The reason I have this, because one of the parables that we study in this lesson has been traditionally called the prodigal son. Now, some have questioned that about a son who asks for his father's inheritance and goes away and wastes it and then comes back and the father welcomes him back. That's just a very short version of that parable. But we often call it the prodigal son. And I'll be honest, for a long time, I never knew what prodigal meant. And I would be curious, I'd love to do a survey and find out how many people know what prodigal means. I had to look it up to know for sure. Any of you look it up?
I did. I looked
you
it
did.
Up.
You did? Good.
Yep. And what I read, a prodigal, when referring to a person, is someone who has spent or spends money with wasteful extravagance.
Okay.
The place that I looked up. I think more generally the idea of a prodigal carries the idea of someone who is wayward somehow.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say. I think most people thought wayward, sinful.
Okay. Wayward and maybe the wasteful part of it is attached as well. But someone who knows better but yet wanders off into a life of kind of worthlessness somehow.
Dictionaries, of course, are not inspired. The one I looked at was a little bit different than yours. It just said exceedingly or recklessly wasteful. Okay, now what does that have to do with harvest and harvesters and training leaders and all that kind of stuff? Why is that parable in there?
I hope that we're, in a sense, recklessly wasteful in the compassion that we give to our neighbors, even our enemies. If we are truly to follow the instructions that Jesus gives us on the Sermon on the Mount and elsewhere, we will lavish God's love given through us, even to people that despitefully use us.
Yeah. Well, in the story, of course, the emphasis for us as we think about discipleship training is the fact that God is represented by the Father, or the Father represents God, who welcomes a prodigal son back home with extravagance and a celebration and a party and greatness. So I think what you're trying to say in this lesson, and it's a beautiful thing, is that if you're going to be a disciple maker, you've got to love the prodigals. You've got to have compassion on the prodigals if you want to see a harvest take place.
Have to love the way that he loves.
Yeah. How do you get that? How do you develop that? How does that compassion, which is a key part of someone who's working to be a disciple maker, how does that happen? How does that come?
Yeah, I suppose we can grow to love in different ways. And it maybe sounds a little bit like a cop-out to say to ask the Lord to give us that love, but I think there's truth in that. So maybe you ought to say that. I remember it was actually a pastor's meeting a number of years ago, a group of pastors sitting together, and we were basically talking about the same thing. I think the question was, how can we act in loving ways towards the people in our community, you know, and kind of be a welcoming church? How can we act in those loving ways? And there was a pastor who said, for me, very memorable, he said, I need to stop asking God to help me to act in a loving way toward other people. And I wasn't sure I'd heard him correctly. He needed to stop asking God to... He said, instead, what I want to ask of God is that, not that I act in loving ways, but that I actually love people. I need to ask God to give me a heart that loves. Mm. And then the action will be a natural of thing that flows from that, instead of me trying to strategize how I can behave lovingly toward other people. So maybe that's a beginning to pray about it. And I would also say that developing relationships with people, the closer we come to people and we understand their struggles and their challenges, I think love is a kind of natural thing that God has placed in our hearts. That tends to grow as we are in relationship with other
people. I found that to be true. I could tell you several different stories about how my attitude toward people changed when I spent enough time listening to them to really hear their story. Not to try to convert them or make them do something or encourage them that they had to be this or that, but just to say, who are you? What has your life been like? What is important to you? What has happened to you? Just to listen to their story, it naturally started to change my heart. And I like what you just said, Paul, emphasis on the heart. And, you know, that's the thing that struck me about this lesson, Dan. It just kind of hit me right here saying, we study techniques, we think about ways, all this, good, you know, not a problem, but do we have a heart of love, a heart of compassion?
I think one of the best lessons I learned about love came, ironically, from a prisoner in the penitentiary. He had been released on parole and began attending our church. I had the privilege of baptizing him. He did not commit any further crimes. He had, at that point, spent half of his life in the state penitentiary for murdering a man in a barroom fight. And I moved away, and unfortunately, he had some parole violations, not further criminal activity, but when you don't meet up with your officer at certain times and so forth,
you
can get sent back to prison, and he was. We corresponded for a while. I think the last letter that I received from him told me a really sad story. His 80-year-old father had been at home, and four young people in their 20s, came in, and for the $20 that they stole from him, they killed him so that he would not be able to identify them. And I thought about my relationship with my father, how angry I would be, how I would want revenge. And I read further in the letter, and he said, I want you to promise me that you will ask your church to pray and that you will pray for those young people who killed my father so that they can come to know Jesus Christ and be saved. I thought, here I am a minister, and I don't have the love that this man has, the deep relationship with Jesus. And I prayed then that God would give me that heart of love. But, you know, it was just so incredible to me that this man did not want to go out and kill them. He wanted them to come to know Jesus.
Yeah. Well, if we can see that heart developed in all of us, I'm sure that we would all see a lot more people come to love God. Mm-hmm. And they saw that manifested in our lives. One of the other key parts here mentioned in the lesson is the role of the Holy Spirit in training. You know, it talks about picking not just apostles, but deacons. We have deacons picked here. And one of the characteristics is they be filled with
Spirit,
the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Do we ask that of leaders? Do we talk about that when we talk to leaders very often?
I think we're kind of uncomfortable because we live in a society that, and I suppose to some degree all societies kind of want to control things. And when you talk about something like the Holy Spirit, you're essentially talking about something that you don't fully understand and certainly do not control. So I think we would acknowledge, yes, the leaders need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, but then exactly what that means. And there are some faith communities that would more clearly define that, I think, than others. I don't know that I've even answered the question so much as just
Well, you did. You actually confirmed kind of something that was behind my question, which was saying I think that we're often bashful to talk about it. Mm-hmm. But when you look at a passage like John 16, where Jesus says, you know, I'm going to go away. There are many things I want to teach you. I've trained you a lot, but I haven't trained you in everything, okay? There's more to learn here, and how are you going to learn it?
Through the Holy Spirit.
Through the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Through the Holy Spirit guiding. And I'm thinking, do I take that seriously? Do I understand what that means? And it caused me to think about it. Well, God is in the business of training leaders. Jesus is in the business of training leaders. And he wants compassionate leaders. He wants Spirit-filled leaders. And the closer we come to that, I'm sure the better the discipleship thing will go. So thank you very much, Paul and Dan, for your willingness to share with us today. Thank you, Chad Ofterhauer, our program engineer. We appreciate your work. Thank you, our listening audience. Please join us again next week. May God bless you. For the Good Word, I'm John Dibdon.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.